them all the questions.
You got all the answers.
You try to tell a kid something, what do they say? I know. Let me show you how to do that. I know.
Right. But that's the only reason I say that is because I know that it's, you know, if you're coming across these things, it's got to be some questions that, and you don't have to wait. I mean, that's what we're here for, is to find out what's going on as much as we can, as much as the Lord gives us light on these things. But one thing I did want to say is the more we go through it, I appreciate, not that I didn't, but you really appreciate God's word because you see how he has laid it out. And if you just follow, most times, if you just follow him through, he'll lead you right to where he wants you to go. Because you get, in Genesis, you have the formation of that's the book of beginnings. And everything that he's doing begins right here. And then you know, when it finishes over here in Revelation, everything he done has come to an end. Everything he's done has come to an end. You got Exodus, where he brought the nation out. That's what Exodus means, to come out, to bring out. Exodus, Leviticus, he sets up the nation as a priesthood, gives them the rituals and regulations, then how they are to be separate as a separated nation. Numbers, he numbers them as his army to go into conquest, to conquer the land that he's going to take over. Numbers, Deuteronomy, he gives them the second law because he knows they're getting ready to fail. Deuteronomy, Joshua, he goes in and he conquers the land. And true to God, what he told them, they failed. We found out in Joshua that scripture said there arose another generation that knew not the Lord nor his mighty works. And then they went a whoring after other gods. And then Judges is where we are, is when he said in Judges chapter 1, and I think we actually went through that.
Mm-hmm, we did.
Judges chapter 1, and he gives a real good summary in the first two chapters of Judges. But in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, I think it's where we kind of left off there. He says, And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, the ones that Joshua was obedient to Joshua. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And this is the generation that we're dealing with that fell under this, the judges. In verse 11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and of the gods gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord unto anger. 13, and they served Baal and Ashtoreth. And verse 16 says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And you can see, even though God has laid it out in advance, even though they have broken the contract over and over and over, he always does what?
Forgives
them. He always forgives them. He always deals with them in mercy. He gives them what they don't deserve. But true to God's character, he has to do what?
Punish.
He has to punish them.
Is to satisfy his holiness, his righteousness.
He has to. And that's a good point to remember as we go forward. He has to. He cannot go back on his word. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. But Because I said, because of the fine print he did put in there, that he was able to show mercy to whom he was able to show mercy. He was able to be long-suffering, to be gracious to whom he would be gracious. He can do that and not violate his contract. But he still told them that he would punish them. And you look at Deuteronomy, all those curses, Deuteronomy 30, 28, 29, 30. Joshua rehearsed it. Leviticus 26 talks about it. And they here they are. They come up on it. Verse 2:14 says, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." So you see, here he is. Here God starts to enforce his end of the contract. But not on the mercy. It's for judgment. And he begins to punish them. That's Melissa.
You come up here and say that again, Roy, Melissa.
It's all right.
You can sit there, come on.
And verse chapter 2 verse 20 says, let's look at verse 19. "And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following God, other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they ceased not from their own doings nor their stubborn way." And this is the very thing. And when God, before he went to the land, he told them, when you go over here, don't do what you want to do. That's what the law was for. He told them, don't do what you think is right in your own eyes. Verse 20, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also would not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." Now Joshua is dead.
I was going to say the same thing.
You know what this sounds like?
What does that sound like?
This, from the beginning of this Bible, after thinking about what you were saying, to the end of this Bible, it sounds like a parent raising his children. But he had a lot of children.
He has
forgiven them.
Right.
Kept forgiving them. Kept letting them do things. And they, every time they go in the wrong direction. And that's really what life is about today. We constantly choose in the wrong direction.
Right.
Wrong philosophy.
And the reason they did it is the same reason we do it, is because we need redeeming.
And it's like a parent with a child. You love them. It's like all these people with these drug problem kids, you know, and their whatever other problems they got. No matter how bad they are, how many times they steal from them, how many times they do them wrong, you still forgive them.
Right.
Try to make it better.
And
that's what he does. He's raising us.
One of the things that you can appreciate is, even though he's dealing with them on a contract, he still injects that mercy to them. And for us, there's never been a time where God only dealt in mercy like he is now. You never heard people say that, I think God is punishing me because I did this or that or the other today. Mm-hmm. And if look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let.
Way off with my thought process?
No, you right on. Right on the money. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19. Says, to wit, or to know, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not what?
Imputing
their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, with who?
Christ.
With Christ. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, if God is on the throne of grace, can he also punish you for what you're doing wrong?
Yes.
Hold on. Think about it.
What about reap what you sow?
If he...
About consequences
of our life. Yeah, that's a principle. He's laid that down. Well, I think God is not mocked. We talked about that.
Right.
Where now he can't tell you on the one hand that I'm not imputing. Imputing means to put it on your account, right, to charge it to you. He can't say that I'm not imputing trespasses, and on the other hand, punish you for them.
Right.
Then God would be double tongued.
That's right.
He would be unreliable. Even James said that much, didn't he?
Yeah.
A double-minded man. Is that God?
No.
God is yea and yea, not yea and nay. So he would say, I'm not imputing, I'm not punishing you for your sins. But the world says, yes, he is. Today.
Because you're reaping the consequences of your own actions, or it may not be anything to do with what you've done. You know, it's just, we live in a fallen world.
And that's what we talk about. We live in the dispensation right here. We live in the dispensation of grace. We live in the dispensation of Gentile grace, where God is not imputing trespasses to the world. He's reconciling the world.
But he chases those that he loves.
Okay, back again. If... You got grown children, right?
Two of them, yeah.
When the last time you whooped them?
Oh, it's been a while.
Last week.
But here's yeah. Why not? Because they're grown, right?
Well, yeah.
They're grown. You can't go to their house and say, I don't like that. Get over here. You can't do that. This is what God has done for us. All those words we went over, remember those words we went over? Mm-hmm. Adoption.
All the process words.
God has, when he saved us, he said, you are my son. Mm-hmm. You are my full grown son. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't put dudes and dolts on you.
We're not under that school.
So, anymore. You don't chasten adults because they're not children.
Right.
They suffer their consequences.
Yeah.
Now, that's hard. That's hard to believe that you can't, like, I'm out here and I'm sinning, or I've done this, and the principle is there. If you sow to the flesh, then of the flesh you reap corruption. Because God is not mocked. He said the wages of sin is still death. And you can try him, but he comes out on top every time because he's not mocked. He's not lightly esteemed. You don't take his word and say, I can get away with this. It doesn't work. But he's not punishing you.
Right.
It's just the law, like it said in Romans, the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. You sin, you die. Whether that's spiritual, practical, functional, physical, you sin, you die. The law of the spirit of life in Christ is you have the Son, you have life. Y'all remember, look at Romans 8. We'll get back to Joshua and the Judges. When Paul writes Romans, this is where I talk about, you know, systematic. When you go through in Romans, and we're just going to jump over. He says in chapter 5, you've been justified by faith. He wraps that all up. Chapter 6, he says, now, this is your relationship to sin. He said, no more dominion. Why? Because you died with him. You was buried with him. And he raised you up to do what? Walk in newness of life. Okay, that's so to sin, I'm dead to sin. That's a judicial sentence. That's a positional truth that he wants you to know to make it practical. That's why he goes on and he says, and look at six.
What is dominion?
Dominion is rule, to dominate. If you have dominion over somebody, you rule over them. They tell you what to do. Before we were regenerated, the old man, he told you what to do. And you did it. You didn't have power to not do it. You can say then, I can't help myself, because you couldn't. Look at six. He says, verse six. Knowing this.
Chapter 6, verse 9?
6, verse 6.
Oh, okay.
Knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing what, Paul? That our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth. What does henceforth mean?
From now on.
From when on?
Now.
From when on?
After you know your body's been crucified.
Okay. What has to happen before you find out that your body has been crucified?
You have to believe.
So after you get saved, right? Then you know this. You know this, that henceforth, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this point on, we should not serve sin. Okay, he didn't stop there. Why not, Paul? For, to further explain this, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Mm-hmm. Are you dead?
Yes.
How you know you're dead? How do you know you're dead? Because he just said it, didn't he? That's a position. When he looks at you, he says, I killed you. The old Lawrence, I killed you. The one that told you what to do, I killed him.
Right.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
He said it. He says, the old Karen, I nailed her to the cross. She's dead.
Praise God.
Okay. He says, Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And here's, he's laying the groundwork for you and me. He says, in that he died unto sin, how many times?
Once.
Hebrews says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin,
sat down.
Did what?
Sat down
on the right hand of God, having perfected.
Once for all.
Perfected. It was a perfect sacrifice. Not like those priests who went year after year and daily.
With the blood of bulls and goats.
They never sat down. There was no chair in the tabernacle. Because it was not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin.
It wasn't finished.
And the work was never finished. The fire never went out.
Right.
It was a perpetual fire. That's what he told him in Leviticus. A perpetual fire. You know what perpetual means?
Continuous.
On and on and on. They had courses they went in. That's why the tribe of Levi was separated. So you know what? We always have somebody there as a mediator between God and man. It was the priest. The whole tribe. And they had courses where they served. And when that man, that's my father, you know what? I waited. And then when I turned 30, guess what I did? I was a priest. If I had a son, he watched me. And when he turned 30, guess what he did? Likewise, on and on and on and on.
It was the family business.
It was the family business. But this man, being a priest after the order of Melchizedek, he had everlasting priesthood, dealing with an everlasting sacrifice, dealing with everlasting blood, where he could go in and offer that once for all sacrifice. And when he died for sin, when he offered himself to be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus, when he offered himself as the Lamb of God, the propitiation for our sins, he sat down.
It's finished.
It's finished. Yes. That's why he says he died for sin
one
time.
Once.
He says, verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Mm-hmm. Likewise.
All right now.
Here's where you come in. It was where I come in. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what?
Dead unto sin.
But
alive unto God through Jesus Christ.
Okay. So he says, well, he died unto sin one time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he died, he broke the power of sin and death. So we don't die again. That's why we sorrow not as others who have no hope, because we know that we already died.
Mm-hmm.
We died with him. Right?
Yes.
That's what he said. Sorrow not as others who have no hope. We already died with him.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, he says, reckon he also. That's not the reckon like, well, I reckon I died, I guess. It's a fact. Reckon means, you know what, you sit down, you lay it all out, and you look at it, you weigh the evidence, and you said, you know what, I died with him. Because he's giving it to you step by step by step by step. He says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let,
mm-hmm.
Permissive. Let means it's up to who?
Oh.
Well, what about this? Lord, please help me not to sin.
Okay.
What about that?
No.
Why not?
We've already been delivered from sin.
If he's telling you, this is God writing to us, he says, let. He didn't say ask.
He said allow it.
He said let not sin what? Therefore
reign.
Another word for dominion, Frank, is reign.
A rule.
Rule.
Reign is rule.
Have power over.
Have power over. Let not therefore sin have power over your
mortal body.
Well, I just can't help it though.
Yes, you can.
You just don't understand.
No,
no, you don't understand.
Now, I might not understand, but who does understand?
God.
He understands.
Mm-hmm.
He says, And you know what? He's saying to us, no, you just don't understand.
I've done it.
He said, I've done it. We can't go to him and say, Lord, you just don't understand.
Because he was tempted.
That'd be the wrong way to start off a conversation with him.
You can't, it would be right. Because it's not an honest conversation.
No,
it's that's not. Why he said, no one or reckon, because we're dead to sin.
But you know what? When we operate in ignorance as a saved person, as a believer, if you don't know how to deal with the old, there's people who teach this, that once you're saved, that all things become new, that you don't sin anymore. So you live a life in pretense that you don't sin. So you tell everybody, what is the, remember the story? You said, I haven't sinned all week or something like that. Or whatever. I haven't sinned since.
But I haven't got out of the bed yet.
You don't have to get out of bed. I tell you what, you know what?
It goes in bed, don't it? You can.
All you know what? A lot of.
Exactly.
In here.
Right here.
You don't. You can sit down. And you know what? Look at, hold your hand here. Look at Colossians chapter 2.
Just hold that thought, Frankie.
What was that you were saying, Karen? Remember the guy that had a little, his daughter said that daddy, well, I remember the story, the guy was talking to another preacher, and he says, and the little daughter was there, and the guy said, well, I haven't sinned in so and so amount of time. And the little girl said, oh, daddy, yes, you have. Because they, you know what? You can say that to me. Mm-hmm. But if you live with a person and you in close contact with a person, mm-hmm. you got them. Mm-hmm. You know that they are not sinless. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Mm-hmm. But didn't all this die over here in this other part, like the first part in the Old Testament?
Did what?
You said it's all sinning is all up here.
It's
starts there.
But I understand. But didn't that die?
Oh, it didn't die. No, it
didn't die.
No.
The New Testament.
We'll get to that. Hold that thought. I'm gonna
just ask.
This might help us. Well, we'll try to back into this. Look, Colossians chapter 2.
Colossians.
Mm-hmm. Verse.
Is that with a C or G?
Colossians.
C.
Chapter with an L, right?
Yeah, Colossians. Yep.
Ephesians.
20. Okay, yep. 2:20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? He says, you know what? If you've been dead from the do's and don'ts, then why are you living under do's and don'ts? He said this: touch not. Taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. He says, after the commandments of and doctrines of men. You know who puts the rules on you that make you follow them? Is the religious system.
And those that
want to
control.
Those who put you under performance. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We are not under the law, but under what? The law is a performance. We're not under the performance. If you do this, then I do this. We're not under performance. We're under grace.
And under grace, the love of Christ
can strengthen us. And right. And he said this. He says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship mm-hmm. and humility and neglecting of the body. He says, you know what? It comes out in this. Will worship is your mental strength. You doing this in your mental strength.
And also as a performance for the
for people to see.
Because the Lord knows your heart.
And he says, will worship and humility. Or humbling yourself, false humility, really, mm-hmm. and neglecting of the body. You know, I don't do this. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't smoke. I don't drink. You know, I don't. Whatever it is, whatever. Whatever you lay out, he says, but not in any honor or not in any respect to the what?
Satisfy
another flesh. Here's a good example. You have, and we use this, the Catholic priest. We don't eat fish. We don't eat meat. We don't eat meat. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We live a celibate lifestyle. But inside, he's showing, on the outside, he's showing us that, you know what? I'm completely dedicated to the Lord. Will worship. Humility. But on the inside, guess what's not being satisfied? The flesh. The flesh is raging inside of him.
Is your flesh acting godly on the outside?
It's exactly. But on the inside, you know what I liken that to? You liken that to this, where you lock up a wild animal in a cage. Mm-hmm. And you say, that's my pet. That's my house pet. But on the inside, if you let him out,
he'll have you for lunch.
He'll have you. And that's what you try to keep the flesh, you know.
Well, it's back to
kind of keep him refined.
With the tuxedo.
Same thing.
You know, he's got that inner nature.
Right. He's a beast.
But doesn't it go back to renewing your mind with God's word? Because that's the only thing that we have is his word that will control our flesh. As a matter of fact, our flesh is dead, and we have to tell our flesh by renewing our mind with God's word.
Right. Look at same book. Look at the previous verse.
Since my wife's been sick, my flesh has been dead. I'll tell you.
He says, verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not doing what?
Holding the head
from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. That's the same like the passage in Ephesians that says that each body member contributes to each other and that the body edifies itself in love. What is the nourishment that you get?
Love.
This is done in love.
The word.
Like Ephesians says, speaking the truth
in love
that we may what? Grow up in him in all things, even Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply. That's what it is. It's information, like you said. And when you take that information, he just said this, knowing this.
Knowing.
Okay, back to Romans.
Knowing that you're dead, that you're free from sin, knowing.
He says, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither.
What verse you in?
13. Neither what?
Yield
ye your members as what?
Instruments of unrighteousness unto sin.
How do you, let me finish the verse out. But yield. Yeah. But yield.
Yourselves
unto
God.
As those that are
alive from the dead.
And your members as
instruments of righteousness to God.
Okay. Now, I look at this. We talk about yield. Yield, we think of yield like this, where you pull up to the stop sign and you slow down. That's not that yield.
No.
Yield is this. When you plant a crop, and they say this crop had a high yield. What does that mean?
A lot on the plant.
it was, you know what? You plant a seed, and it produces a high yield, or even stocks. A stock have a high yield. I mean, you got a high return on it. And he says this. You yield, don't yield your body to sin, because he'll produce.
Don't feed the flesh, feed your spirit. If you're busy feeding your spirit, you're not feeding the flesh. But you can't be doing both at the same time.
Yield. Right. He said, you know what? When you plant those seeds, you can look for the increase.
Amen.
He that soweth, yield, soweth to the flesh, shall what?
Reap corruption.
He that soweth to the spirit, life everlasting. So he says, don't sow. He says, yield, verse 13. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead.
Amen.
You just like you say, here I am, sin. You say, here I am, Lord. And then, you know what? You expect, when you yield to sin, you expect the fruit of it.
Amen.
When you yield to the Lord,
yeah, that's
all right. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
And he goes on, he says, what then? Like Ron just said, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey?
Mm-hmm.
Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Here you go, Sharon. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have what?
Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you.
Okay. What gets you out of sin? From these verses. What gets you out of sin? From these verses. What gets you out of sin?
Believing.
Knowing.
The word. God's word. Knowing what he's done for you.
Look at the verse. What gets you out of sin?
Obeying from the heart.
What gets you out of sin?
That form of doctrine, the gospel.
All right, what gets you out of sin?
Yielding to the Spirit, yielding to the Word of God, yielding to His truth, walking in that truth, living out that truth.
Your obedience.
And all, that's what, you know what? He just said, thanks be to God that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. That form of doctrine.
And let me just say something, because I think it's important what you just said. Obey from the heart. Well, the reality is when we're all alone, we obey from our heart. It's what's in our heart. I mean, when no one else is around, we are who we are. And we're obeying what's in our heart. So if we're obeying from the heart, because this is where our heart is.
That's why he says, renew your
mind.
Because when we talk about mind, we think about memory. But when God talks about mind, he's talking about heart.
Okay.
Renew your mind. He says, you know what? I want to change you. That's why the word is so important. He says,
yeah. That's that will. But it's will yielded to him and his truth. And not yielded
like
to
this.
Our
he's,
flesh.
He says, David was a man after my own
heart.
What did he take this information as we renew our minds, and what it does, these words are their life.
Yes, they are. Amen.
Their life, their spirit.
Yes.
And you know what? I look at this as the more you eat of this, that's how you, the more you get of him.
Amen.
That's why he told the Jews, he says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no. They didn't get it. But see, we can look back. And you know what? You can't say you love the Lord and you never read his book.
Yes.
You don't get any intake of this. But he says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And the doctrine, you know what Titus said about the doctrine? This doctrine is according to godliness. That means, you know what? This doctrine When you get this doctrine, it produces godliness. That's its aim. It's after godliness. That means, you know what? When you do this, you're getting to what God wants you to do.
Fashion to
that
end.
You're realizing the purpose that he has.
Say it again.
Fashion into his image.
Fashion into his image. You know what? He begins to conform you to the image of his son. And you know what? You don't even.
Which is what we're predestined to.
Another one of our words we talked about, transformation, where, you know what? And confirmation. Confirmation is outside in. Outside, the world works on you and shapes you like it wants you. Transformation is metamorphosis. It's on the inside out. You get that word, it goes in, and he begins to change you, shape you, form Christ in you. And before you know it, you look up and you say, like, you know what I'm talking about? Larry. Well, you said my wanna changed. My wanna changed. You just like, I want to serve the flesh. But after you keep getting this word in you, then you find out, you say, you know what? I don't want to serve the flesh. Not like I used to. And it, because that, it's life.
You left a degree in there that you might want to, not like you used to.
Oh, it's because you always going to have the flesh. You won't completely eradicate the flesh. Look at Colossians. We just skipped to Colossians again. We're going to stop now. Colossians chapter 3. He says 3:1. If ye then, thank you, be risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ? This is a challenging if. You know, because he knows you have been, you know, because we are being raised together to sit with him, right? We just read in Romans that he that we've died with him, we was buried with him, we've also been what?
Risen.
That's a position. You may not even, some saints don't even know that. They don't know that. The transformation process has not started yet. So what if the transformation process hadn't started yet? Guess what hadn't started yet? The victorious life hasn't started yet, because your saved life won't function in ignorance. That's what he goes through. The carnal mind is what? He hates God. You could be a saved man. You say, I hate. And then you are, oh, no, I don't. I love the Lord. How do you love the Lord? You don't know his word.
And don't want to obey.
Don't want to obey it. No, this is what love is. Love is this. Love is not erotic love. That's one thing. Love is not the brotherly love. That's another thing. God's love is this. Is this. What is the, you know, what does that mean? It means that you.
Unconditional.
A value and esteem what he wants over what you want. That's why he said, let this mind be in you that was in what?
Christ Jesus. That was also in Christ Jesus.
Who did what? What kind of mind was that?
He took the form of a servant.
And humbled himself.
Even unto death.
Even the death of the cross.
When he told the Philippians, he says,
or not all,
he said to the Philippians, he says, look not every man on his own things, but the things
of others.
Let us think about the things wherewith one may edify another. That's, you know what? I value and esteem you over what I want. That's love. And he said, if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Here you go. What does that mean?
kill.
Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, when you weren't saved. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Seeing that you have what?
Put off the old man.
You have put off the old man, Romans 6. You have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on what?
The new man.
Which is?
Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
After the image of him that, who created him?
God.
He says, you know what? He's given us his book to renew our minds. But you know what he says? He says, mortify. What does a mortician do?
Embalms.
You know what? When a man dies, his blood is still in his body.
Drains the blood.
And that blood is dead. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do it, it'll putrefy inside of him. And it'll stink. And the mortician goes in and he drains out the life-giving fluids of that dead man. Although, it's not alive anymore. But he drains out that life. Because, like Leviticus, the Lord said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He drains out that blood. And what the Lord is telling you and I, he says, you mortify, drain out all the life in that old man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll sit back and he'll say, remember we used to do this? And you say, yeah. And he said, you know you want to do it again. And he begins to, and he you know what? You know, you got him too. You got the old man. Or he'll say, do this. And you say, wait a minute. You dead. Mm-hmm. You are dead. And the renewed mind, then he'll, in the new man will say, do this.
Amen.
Like Ephesians, he says, we talked about the Ephesians, he says, don't walk in the vanity of your mind. You know, those worthless decisions we make. He said, but we walk. He said, you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Well, when did we hear Jesus? When were we taught by Jesus?
Through the letters of the apostle Paul.
Through the word. It's all information. Because the word is him. They're equal. In the beginning,
the word.
W-O-R-D.
Amen.
And the word.
And the word was with God.
And the word became flesh.
And here we are where the Lord has, you know what? You can say the Lord has come down again and resides with us. And in us. Like he said in Romans, he says, who shall go up to get him? And bring, that is to, you know what? Or who shall go down to bring?
But the word is nigh thee.
The word where?
It's nigh thee. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart.
It's in your mouth when you read it, and it's in your
heart
when you believe it. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. You know what? You don't have to, you know what? I can't wait to get to heaven to see. No, he's here right now.
Amen.
And you know what? And in Romans, we just looked at it. He dwells where?
In us.
In us.
In your heart.
Amen.
And he's there. You know what? Anytime we need him, you can't say that, you know what? I can't help it. You can say, I don't know how to do it. And that's where the information comes in. And what then what we do then is say, well, Lord, I just yielded to the flesh. And that's what makes it so sinister, where you know you do it and you willfully do it. Like that, like people say, well, I sin in ignorance, or I didn't mean to do it. Well, you can say that to me, you know. I might go for it. But you know what? All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows, you know what? He knows them. Far off.
He died for those thoughts.
So, yeah. And that's what, you know what? What grace is when you see who you are. And you see what he's done on our behalf.
That's it.
And all you can say is, thank you.
That's right.
Because you know you.
That's right.
And I know me.
Mm-hmm.
And we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And all we can do is say, Lord, thank you for your grace.
That's
right.
Because if it weren't for him,
that's true.
We'd be, all of us,
yes,
were doomed.
Yeah.
And if one died for all,
all were dead.
And you know what? And if one died for all, then all were dead. That henceforth, we which are alive, that we should not live, what?
Unto ourselves.
But to him who died and rose again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what grace is.
Mm-hmm.
If the love of Christ, the love of Christ,
mm-hmm,
doesn't motivate us,
mm-hmm,
it won't get done. So what, just going to make you love her and her love you and make us minister to one another and all, make, treat each other? It's not, you know what? It's not a bunch of...
That picture real clear for us all throughout the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
It's agape love.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christ, when you find out, you know what? He loved me and this is what he asked me to do. How could I not? Be seeing what he gave up, how could I not give up?
Amen.
The love of Christ, not my love for him, the love of Christ,
mm-hmm,
constraineth me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thus judge. And you know what? That's what we come for. I do.
Amen.
Is to see how much he loved me and gave himself for me. And you know what? I said, Lord, we didn't get to Judges, but when Samuel was becoming a prophet, and they said that in the word of the Lord was precious in those days, because there was no open vision. And he was sitting down, he was laying on his little cot, I guess, in the priest's office, and he'd say, Samuel. And he gets up and he says, what is it, Lord? I didn't call you. Eli, I didn't call you. Lay back down. Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, surely it wasn't me. And he, Samuel. And he says, Eli finally says, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
He says, the next time you say, speak, Lord, for my servant heareth. And that's what we do. We come to this book. And he says, Roy.
Yeah.
And the flesh says, and he said, Roy. And then he, Roy. And you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And then, you know what? He works in us to do that which is worthy and well-pleasing in his sight. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would take these things and impress them on our hearts. We know you can take your word and its life, and it will produce that which you sent it out to achieve. Lord, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy, and that great love wherewith you loved us. Strengthen us, Lord. Meet us at our point of need, as you always do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Great lesson.
Yeah, we're just assuming Judges wouldn't have been that good, right?